Hey, Fat Yogi friends, Tiffany here. I had this amazing idea for this podcast, and I'm so excited to be sharing all these interviews with you. But one way that you can really help me out is by going and leaving a review under your podcast, the way that you're listening. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or however you're listening to this podcast, please, that helps me out so much. It helps the people find this podcast who are searching for Fat Yogi podcasts. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. And I can't wait for you to listen to this week's episode. On today's episode, we have a super duper special guest to me. He is my own cousin. We grew up together, practically brothers. We basically spent every waking moment out of school together. He is the reason why I'm so hilarious. He's always been a big guy. He's one of the most confident people I've ever met in my entire life. I love his energy and his stories. Plus, we have an awesome debate on the word fat. Welcome to the show, PJ. Hi, and welcome to the Fat Yogi Show. I'm so excited because I'm actually able to do this interview with the person sitting right next to me, which is kind of weird.
It is super weird.
And it's my first male guest, which I think is so awesome because a fat yogi isn't always a female. So I love getting a male perspective in this whole fat yogi world. So my guest today is awesome. I've known him since he was born. I grew up with him. He's practically like my brother. Welcome to the show, PJ.
Thank you. Thank you, Tiffany, for having me on your show. Like she said, I'm her brother from another mother. And when I heard she was doing this, I told her you definitely have to get me on because I'll keep it real. I'll keep it straight. How, like, a guy's point of view is it? And being a big person's point of view of even yoga and the thoughts of it. So, yeah, let's get it rolling. Just so, saying, not get it rolling.
Because we both got some rolls. Okay, so I'm super glad you're here. I want to start from the beginning, so tell me everything. As you grew up, like, what was your family like? What was your mom and dad like? The household, you and your culture, was there a lot of food? Were you overweight as a kid? Tell me everything.
So, mom, dad, of course. I have a sister. She got the lucky genes, as we would say. She's pretty fit, but she has to work hard. We have a joke in our family, like the Jones genes. So if you slack for a minute, it comes back real quick. Grew up, my parents definitely both worked hard, worked at wineries their whole lives. Food, you know, it was one of those things where sometimes maybe we didn't have the most money to go out and get whatever, but we always had food, like pastas, stuff that stretched, rice and beans. My mom's Hispanic. My dad is super white. And then I'm both. I'm the best of both worlds. So, yeah, you know, my mom's family, you know, they are heavier set people as well. And my dad's family is too. A lot of my dad's family, I think almost everybody except for one, has had the gastro bypass surgery out of my aunts and uncles. I actually have had it myself. I think going back to the childhood, growing up big, as a kid, I guess you don't notice it until someone makes fun of you. Or until someone points it out to you.
Yeah.
Definitely, that's when you notice it. Super active my whole life. I played sports my whole life. My dad pushed me into that hardcore. I mean, I played baseball every year, fall ball. side effects of being big playing sports is I would have to get my clothes, especially ordered. I'd have to go to the adult section and get it. I remember one year having different color pants than the whole team. because they didn't make them in my size for that color.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So the whole year I played with a different bottom uniform than the top, than the whole team. So, you know, I mean, you notice these little things, but being the big guy, I feel like it never held me back. I mean, I love the snowboard. I remember when I got into snowboarding, I was like, you know, afraid to go do the rental stuff because I didn't want to rent it and break their stuff. You know, like, I'd rather break my own stuff and then, like, be cool. Like, oh, yeah, I had this stuff for 20 years. But, so, like, when I went out snowboarding with my buddies, he invited me, and I was like, sure, dude, let's try it. I went out and bought everything. And then I hated it. It was the worst day of my life. I fell so many times.
Oh, yeah.
And then my buddy on the way home was like, bro, how was that? I'm like, dude, it was awesome. I loved it. And I'm like, okay, cool. Now he's happy. He thought I had a good time. That's it. And he was like, cool, let's go next week. I was like, oh, bro, I got to work next week, dude. He's like, we'll go. Don't worry, we'll go a week after. I'm like, oh, dude, I don't know what's going on.
That's some stuff.
Dude, right? So like, I told him, like, hey, you know what, man? Let's, fine, let's go. Let's go. Just to get it over with, you know? It's almost like something you don't want to do, but it's better just to go to get it over with. You don't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I went again, and I learned how to stop, dude. It was pretty sick. Like, we were going down the hill, and I learned how to stop. Once you learn how to stop, it's over. Like, I'm telling you, man, people out there who are big or maybe ashamed of going out, you can't be. I know that's hard to say. Maybe it's because my dad and my mom pushing me and my family. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Tiffany and her mom and everybody, you know, we just grew up seeing that as the normal, you know? Mm-hmm. And our family never let that hold us down at all. I mean,
for sure.
To my mom's side of the family, anybody, if they'd say, like, mijo, you want it? Go get it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So stuff like that I do. I mean, I've worked my whole life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've worked from when we were able to get permits, I think, like, yeah. 15 and a half when you're able to work part-time. And then, boom, start working. Worked a couple different jobs. I've worked at... Actually, I worked with Tiffany once. She got me a job at Petco custodian.
That's
when they had
up.
A custodian position. Now they don't anymore, but we need it back. But I worked at the winery for about 8 years. I loved that job. Shout out to everybody there at the wineries. I love it. I became a dog groomer. Did that for a long time. I still do that on the side, and I am very good at it. Not to toot my own horn.
Toot away.
But also maintenance. I do a lot of maintenance side work. I actually have my own handyman service. It's Big Man's Maintenance. And then I do dog grooming on the side, which is doghouse grooming. Grew up in Napa Valley. Loved it. It's so beautiful. You don't remember how beautiful it is until you go back there for vacation and you drive through it. You're like, yeah. I mean, growing up there, you're like, why do people come here?
There's like, nothing here. These vineyards are so boring.
Yeah, there's nothing here. Why are you guys here?
I know.
This is boring. But when you move away and you come back, you love it. I am married to my beautiful wife, Burnett. We've been married now for, let's not screw this one up, 12 years, I'm shooting for. We have a daughter, Brianna. She's 10, super smart, beautiful, just like me and her mom. I got my son, Ethan. He is 7. He is off the walls. He is... so much energy. He's such a workaholic. He loves going to work with me when I do my side jobs. I mean, he's on it for everything.
I love that.
Yeah, he just loves going with me. I actually met my wife in the Philippines. When I was working at the winery, I started traveling a lot. I started traveling through Mexico, did some things like that. And then my uncle, who was married to a Filipina, asked me if I wanted to go to the Philippines. And I said, sure, let's do it.
Wow.
You know, yeah. So I actually took my best buddy, Bruce, with me. He's been my friend forever. I mean, this guy, his sister used to be my babysitter. So him and I grew up, you know, pretty close. Known him my whole life as well. And I was like, well, who else could I take with me? Let's take my buddy. So we went there, had a great time. You know, I guess if we want to be real about everything, in the back of my head, I thought, you know, maybe going to the Philippines is a good idea. Had that thought of, you know, maybe I will find a wife over here. Just because being big in the U.S., I felt like, I mean, if I knew now, you know, I felt like women, not just maybe judged men a little bit more being big. Maybe it was myself not feeling so confident. So, you know, in the back of my head, that was definitely there in my head of going to the Philippines for that reason. But also just let's go there and have a great time. Shoot, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
I've been to Mexico before that probably about five times. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Great times. But so long story short, I didn't meet my wife the first time. I went back with my sister, actually, and her and I had a great time. I did start talking to my wife more then. We started talking and came home, started writing her, and then using phone cards because we didn't have Messenger and
this was Facebook. Back in the day.
Yeah, we couldn't even see each other. People these days who are in long distance relationships don't know how lucky they are to be able to see that person. We weren't able to see each other. So I started working a lot. I was working three jobs, I think. I was working full time at the winery. I was working at the movie theaters in the evening. And then I was doing side jobs cleaning some schools. And I was trying to go back every 3 months to see her. Then after that, I went, took her whole family out to a big dinner. And I'm pretty old school, you know. My parents raised me that way. So I asked her dad if I could marry her. And he said, yeah, you know. I always make a joke. This is messed up. I was, yeah, he told me one goat. But no. But no, he said, yeah. And then I said, okay. I'll be back in 3 months. So I went home, worked my butt off, saved up money, went back, told all my family. My family was so supportive. They were like, okay, you know, just, you know. And I had a couple family members tell me, you know, hopefully it's doing the for the right reason. She's not just marrying you to get papers to come here or whatever. And I was like, no, you know. Yeah, long story short, 12 years later, everybody loves her. She's such a hard worker. She works at the VA even. I mean, she's definitely a dedicated woman.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess just that's most of my story. You know, growing up big is, I guess you just deal with it. One of the things I have to say is when I was going for my gastro bypass surgery, you have to go and see a psychologist. And they make you talk about yourself, do all your stuff, see if you're ready. And he told me straight up, he's like, PJ, you're going to have the hardest time out of everybody to lose weight. Even after the surgery. He's like, it's going to come off real quick because you're a guy. But after that, it's going to be so hard for you. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, most people that come in here are people who don't, who are ashamed of themselves. They don't go out. They're not comfortable in their body. He's like, you, how do you see yourself? And that's what he truly asked me. I'll never forget this. And I told him, honestly, God, I said, I see myself as that guy on the GQ magazine. I do. Like, when I think about myself and I see someone fit and I see them looking good, and if I buy that, like, clothes that they're wearing, I see myself like, oh, man, I bet I look just like him. And then someone shows me a picture, and you're like, God damn, what?
Like, did you eat him?
Yeah. I'm like, wait, are you serious? Like, that ain't me, you know? Yeah. Like, but truly in my head, like, I see myself, even to today, I see myself. You know, at my biggest weight, I was 500. I was like 498 was my biggest weight.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I got
that. How did you feel when you were in a body that was 498 pounds?
I had no high blood pressure, not even high cholesterol.
You were very young, though.
I was. Even that's when one thing that they told me, like, you know, the doctor was surprised, though, even being young. He was like, God made you to be big. Mm. Like, he is like, that's coming pretty weird from your doctor telling you that. And he's like, you know, I mean, everything, no diabetes, no, you know, knock on wood, thank God. But yeah. I didn't want to take that risk of how long will that be gone, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did that surgery. I think my lowest weight was probably 317. Mm-hmm. Surgery I did was about 3 years ago. And I believe I put on probably about 50 pounds since then.
So you dropped down to like 317 after you had the surgery.
After the surgery.
So you were 498 about, before the surgery.
Yeah.
And then you lost almost 200 pounds, yeah. Went down to 317.
Yes.
And how tall are you?
5'6". If I'm sorry. Okay, 5'5", but 5'6", 5'5". Yeah.
He's almost 5'6".
Depends on my shoes.
And since he's had his surgery, he's gained
50 pounds.
After reaching that lowest weight. Yeah. So, and that's over the course of many years. So.
Yeah, but I do have to admit, I am totally, I don't follow what they tell me.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I drink beer. You know, yeah. That's one thing they tell you not to do because your stomach and stuff like that. I eat whatever I want again, you know, mm-hmm. just because my stomach can handle it.
Yeah.
There was two options, actually. I feel like most people who are big have actually thought or heard of the gastro bypass surgery. But there's so many things out there, you know, there's the band, there's whatever they have. Where I go, through Kaiser, one of their biggest things is now is they do the sleeve.
Mm.
They came out with the sleeve because it was for people who were so obese, so big, that they were too high risk to do the full bypass.
Mm.
And they actually did it and they found out, well, your goal was to have that surgery and then later on come back and do the full bypass after you lost enough weight.
Mm-hmm.
But they were finding that most people were just like keeping the weight off just by doing that.
Nice.
Less, not as intense surgery, everything like that. So I would say, I can't remember. I went to a support group about 2 months ago when I just moved here. Obviously, I now currently live in Fresno, been here for about 3 years now. But I went to a support group and I think they say 90 something percent. It may be a little bit higher about. I mean, don't quote me on any of these numbers, but they all do the sleeve. They barely do the actual full bypass anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my plan. I was like, okay, I'll do the sleeve, then do the full bypass. I wish I would have went straight to the bypass 100%. Mm-hmm. I really do. Yeah, I think it would be a lot better. But, you know, I think that's pretty much it for my story, you know? I mean, like I said, I think I left out, we did leave Napa.
Yeah.
I left it about 3 years ago. I do pest control now. Shout out to that. I work with my cousin.
Give him a shout out.
To Justin. He is my boss. He is my cousin. He is my friend.
What's the name of the pest control company?
Classic Pest Control. If you need anything done, we'll definitely take care of you. He pretty much trained me, taught me the ways. But yeah, he's someone I talk to a lot too, besides Tiffany's husband, Jason. I mean, the four of us, Bruce, Jason, and Justin, we're pretty close. But I'd say Justin I talk to the most just because I'm out on the streets, you know, street soldier, as he would call it.
Okay.
I'm just out here working and, yeah, I talk to him all day. So, but he was one who actually convinced me the most to move down to Fresno. I would say everybody, every time we talked in Napa, he'd be like, bro, come down here, come down here. Me and Burnett would come down, even bring the kids. We'd sleep in his house and, he would drive us around and, he would show us Clovis. That's where he lives. And I was just like, I had a total thought.
Right.
You know, I think even you know, when you live in the north or the south of California, you automatically think Fresno is nothing but orchards, cows, and nothing. You know, it's nothing. And we would come out here and visit my grandma. I think I would come down here a little bit more because my dad's pretty close with Justin's dad. They're like the way we are. And she lived out in the country. So growing up, that's what I thought Fresno was like, just out there in the country. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I don't want to move out there. There's nothing out there, you know?
Right.
As I got older and Justin got on his own, started doing things, he would drive me around, show me places. I'm like, wow, it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, then me and Burnett would come down here and stay. He'd show us places. And I remember being down here, 10 years ago, and I almost made the move, and the houses were $160,000 for a brand new house, dude. Brand new. In California.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. $160,000. Yeah. Four bedroom, two bath. I mean, $1,700, $1,800. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I said no. So, I decided to, 3 years ago, we made the plunge. I was working at the apartments with my aunt. Tiffany's mom was the manager there. She got me a job there after the winery. And they ended up selling those apartments, and they brought in new management, and then they brought in their new maintenance crew. You know, being big, this is one of the things. When they brought in their new management crew, they kept two other guys, and which is cool, you know. Thank God they got to work.
Yeah.
But I really felt like that new maintenance guy was really judging on my size. Mm. Like, how's this guy going to get down here and do the work? Because at that time, I didn't have my surgery yet.
Okay.
So, you know, I was.
So you were
heavier. I was real heavier. So I think he was really judging off, like, everything. Just, oh, this guy's probably.
Yeah.
He can't get down, put in an oleum. He can't get under the sinks.
Yeah.
And
like, just not able to do the job because of your size.
Yeah, and the other guys were like, no, dude, this guy, he's
hardcore.
He outdoes us, you know?
Right.
And long story short, they let me go. They told me that they were going to let me go, and they just said, I forget what excuse, they said something. I don't even remember, to be honest. And then at that time, a buddy of ours who I played softball with for years. I played with the men's softball league.
Mm-hmm.
I was a pitcher. I loved it. And that's another thing. I was, here I am, 500 pounds playing softball.
Yeah.
You know, out there running bases and doing everything. I mean,
yeah.
Like I said, I didn't see myself as that big person. I was lucky enough. And a guy we played with, Sergio, really good guy. He found out the situation that happened, and he's like, bro, you can move to our house in the back. And I was like, all right, cool. So I go there, look at it, and it was like a garage.
Oh.
No sheetrock, no nothing. God. It had a little kitchen and like a bedroom kind of off to it, but it was just like bare nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no power really running out there or anything. He's like, man, you come out here, work. Do what you gotta do, get it going, and that'll be towards your rent and stuff like that. I was like, well, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my father-in-law started working on it. Got it up going, fixed it up pretty nice. And we lived there. Me, my wife, two kids, mother-in-law, father-in-law. And then we petitioned my brother-in-law from the Philippines, and he came. So he was living with us. And this is probably the size of a three-car garage, you know, maybe about this size. And there was all of us in there. Well, then my best buddy, Bruce, and his wife, things didn't work out, and they ended up separating. I told him, bro, move in with me. So Bruce moved into that place with us. My parents
were living with somebody. Yeah.
And they ended up having to move out. So I told them, move in with me.
Oh my God.
So that put us at 10 people.
Jesus.
One bed, one bath.
I mean,
one bath.
I remember like thinking about you, PJ, when you were in this living situation, thinking like, God, I hope he gets that house in Fresno because he needed something for his family. He needed a home, like a house. And I was like so excited for you because you were one of the first family members to actually own a home from our family, because all of our family members live in apartments. And so we grew up thinking like that's the best, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was at a kid.
It was, honestly.
At a kid, I mean, you can't, ask for nothing more.
Yeah, because all your friends are right there. So, like, you go out the door and you, like, walk 2 feet and knock, knock, knock. Hey, can you play? Like,
yeah.
That's what it was like all the time. Like, 24-7.
Apartments we grew
up. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could go to any house. Hey, what's up? Oh, PJ, you want some cookies?
Yeah,
you
totally.
Want some soda?
Oh, you guys want some soda?
You want some snacks? Come in. I'm on my way. It was the best as kids, you know? But
yeah.
I think as I got older, I never had my own room,
mm-hmm.
ever.
Yeah.
My dad took our apartment. So you can imagine apartment-sized bedroom.
Yeah.
It's made for, you know, one kid or whatever.
Yeah.
Or two. You know, you can have two.
Maybe.
But he divided it. He built a wall.
Yeah.
And he built a door. Do you remember that, like, in the apartment? Or no?
Barely.
Well, he put a door.
Yeah.
And a wall, so we had my own area to go into. And he built the bunk beds in there. It was cool. We had our own... But I always thought, you know, I want my kids to be able to have their own rooms and stuff like that. So,
yes.
Me and Burnett sacrificed living in that house for a long time, for about a year and a half, maybe two, something like that. I can't remember. And we just saved money, save. With everybody living there, they all pitched in. We all worked together. And we end up. We're fortunate enough to come down to Fresno and right real close to my cousin, Justin, at the time, and his family, about 15 minutes away, right there by Clovis, is right down the street. It was a new home.
Mm-hmm.
We got to pick out everything in the house, do all that fun stuff.
And his home is beautiful.
Super cool. We're still working on the backyard and stuff. And then Tiffany and Jason were like thinking, they came down to visit us for a family reunion. And when they came down, they were as shocked as I was, and most people are when they come down here. Wouldn't you say, Tiff, that you were pretty shocked when we drive you around and you're like, wow, this is
not what I thought. It was really nice.
Yeah. And I was like, well, you guys should move down here. And they're like, well, and then wouldn't you know? They did. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So it's funny. So I'm about 15 minutes from Justin, but I'm about 7 minutes from them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all pretty much on the same street.
Yeah.
If you drive down, you get to each of our houses off of one street.
Yeah.
You just go down one street and then churn, you go to theirs. Keep on going down, you churn, and then you go to the other ones. I mean, it's pretty neat.
Yeah,
you know?
That's cool.
Family over here is super tight, super close.
Yeah.
It's really neat.
Everybody has kids, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's not something that we had when we were in Fairfield. And PJ was the one who had kids that were the same age as mine. So when he lived in the Bay Area with us, when we lived in Fairfield and he lived in Napa, it was awesome because, like, we would invite them over. We'd have pool parties. The kids would play. And then as soon as he left, it was almost like that vibe, that family togetherness completely left. So when we came down to do the family reunion and saw everything and had that vibe again, we were just like, we have to move here. Like, there was no other option for us. So we took that same plunge and, like, we went for it, and we're so glad we did, because, like he said, we're so close now, and it's awesome.
It's so cool.
So, like, as you're growing up, tell me about, like, maybe some times when you were bullied, people calling you out for being bigger. You obviously had a ton of self-confidence, which is awesome. Do you think that helped as you were growing up, too?
I think, like, most big people, you're either that quiet person, very shy, you won't be around anybody, life sucks type of thing, or you're that funny person, you know?
Yeah.
Always... You won't be the one to crack the joke before it gets cracked on you.
Totally.
I was 400% that person.
Yes.
Like, I was the class clown. I was everything. But I also did everything. I mean, I went from, you know, the skater kids to I did choir.
Yeah.
I did football in high school. I did baseball.
Yeah.
I even did track. And people were like, what are you doing track? I'm like, I did shot put. So... Yeah, I didn't do the 100-yard dash. But no, for real, it's like I did all these things. And I think by doing that, I mean, I remember this one story of being in high school and this kid coming up to me, never seen him. I was probably in 11th, 10th grade. I don't know. And he comes up to me. He's like, are you PJ?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. What's up? Do I know you? He's like, no, man, my brother told me, dude, he just graduated. He said, dude, you're a hella cool guy, this and that. Oh. Man. Just wanted to come and say hi. I was like, all right, cool. Thanks, man.
Like, you had the reputation of being the cool kid.
But yeah, and I mean, I was the biggest kid in high school, 100%.
Yeah.
I was definitely the biggest kid. So it ain't like you're not going to get noticed.
Right.
I mean, people knew who you were being the biggest kid. And
what was it like? Take me to a moment where you couldn't fit in the desks, maybe.
So, not so much in high school, really. I would say in middle school, because desks in high school, you know, were
a bit bigger. Ways.
But, like, middle school, I would say, they had those desks that are connected and the drawers lift.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't fit in it. And maybe I just blocked it out, but, you know, it's coming back to where I think about it. I think there's even one class, they even had a normal desk and a chair for me to sit in. Because I couldn't fit into the desk. And you got to think about that. You're comfortable. You're like, thank God, at least I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
But you got to think everybody notices that you're in a different desk.
The fat kid in the
you're
back.
You're in a different desk. You're in a different thing. So, you know, there was a time where I wore like a red shirt or something. And kids were teasing me, calling me the Kool-Aid guy, you know?
Oh.
I'd be walking down and be like, Kool-Aid.
You're like, better watch yourself out to bust through a wall.
Yeah, I was gonna say, well, you know, but I mean, I've always got stares, or you even to today, the worst are little kids today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you're older, little kids are the worst.
Yeah,
it ain't adults anymore.
Right,
adults, you know, I think a lot of them have grown up, and they're just like, maybe in their head, they're like, damn, that's big, you know, that's a big dude or whatever.
Right.
But they don't say it.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, man, are the worst, man, because they don't know, and they're not doing it to be mean, but they'll walk with their parents and be like, mommy, look at that guy. He's so fat.
You've heard people, kids say that?
Oh, 300. I can't count. I can never tell you in my life, really, how many times I've heard that.
Wow.
Mommy, why is he so fat? Mommy, why is he so fat? Mommy, look, that's a fat guy.
Wow.
And, you know, Burnett's walked with me and had, like, Filipinos tell her. And we walking down, and they'll be saying it in their language.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember one time I was in the Philippines, and the one lady's walking down. I'm walking down the street, and she's like, biggest loser, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, my God. Because
it just became a show over there. And they were talking. And, I know what they're saying, obviously.
Right.
I had this one guy come up to me in the Philippines, and he goes, looks at me up and down and goes, wow, you are so fat. And he's just like, you know, but that's a thing they don't see, you know. And I guess, so.
I mean, you're taking it like just like it's whatever, it's your life. But the first few times it happened, how did you feel?
Growing up, hearing, you know, people use the word fat or call you fat, it hurts. I mean, I can tell you. I've came home as a child and cried.
Yeah.
I've came home and cried to my parents that I didn't want to go. I went to a Christian school growing up till about sixth grade. And then my parents lost their job and they couldn't afford it no more. And then the school was working with them, told them they'd take care of it for a while. And my parents just said, you know, you got to go to public school. And I was like, oh, God, I don't want to go to public school.
You had, a protection in the private school?
Probably, because I knew everybody. I think there were 75 kids.
Oh.
That's from kindergarten to high school.
This was
75, New Life Tabernacle.
New Life Tabernacle. Oh, my God.
Loved it. I loved the school, the people, everything there.
Mm-hmm.
And when they told me, I was pretty scared. I didn't want to have to go out, you
know?
So I remember my first day, I was in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was, what was it? Seventh grade is middle school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was in fifth grade. And the year just finished. Well, my cousin, Kevin, was in start middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in seventh grade. Well, they wanted me to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they did it, what the schools did or whatever. But I never went to sixth grade. They dropped me straight up to seventh grade.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, never went to sixth grade. So when I started my first days of school, they're like, okay, everybody, this is review for you guys. I'm like, What?
Oh my gosh.
And then to top it off, the Christian school had a like book thing. When you finish the book, you move to the next one, next one, mm-hmm. next one.
So it's like so at you your own pace?
On pace. I think I was doing third grade work.
Oh my God.
And I was in fifth grade.
Oh my God.
So then when I went to jump the seventh, they're talking about all this stuff. Well, yeah. I was still doing third grade work.
Oh my God.
So that's 3 years or whatever of school I didn't even know they were talking about. It was pretty hard. I will never forget my first day of middle school. Leaving the Christian school was, my parents just lost their job, and we weren't like to grow up with the type of people who had like a bunch of school clothes or whatever. Mm-hmm. We wore uniforms. So yeah. The rest of the weekdays was just normal, chill clothes, you know? Mm-hmm. Probably, be honest, at that age, most of my clothes were probably swimming clothes, shorts. Mm-hmm. That's it. I lived in the pool. You know, you did, right. We did.
Yeah.
And I had no school clothes. I had no school clothes for the first day of school.
Oh my gosh.
And I wore my Christian school uniform to my first day of
wow.
First
how did day. That feel?
So it sucked. I had a kid tell me, he's like, I won't forget, he's like, hey, are you the new teacher? You know, because I was in blue dress pants and like a, I think I wore a first day, I wore like a button-up shirt, it was a polo, blue polo, uh-huh. And that's what I wore, you know. I was like, I don't have anything else. Well, then next day after that, I'm not wearing the polo. I'm just wearing a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And then it was like my dad's like, well, we'll go shopping, you know, because they just lost their jobs.
Right.
So you know, I understood what was going on. So I was like, man. So he said, well, we'll go shopping. We'll get you some new clothes later when you know we get the extra money. So I wore those blue pants forever, and I would just different tops,
mm-hmm.
you know, at least the tops I'm on uniform, yeah. So that definitely sucked. I would say that's where most of my bullying started. Not bullying, I wasn't really ever got really bullied, but like made fun of a lot. Yeah. Started one of my best buddies, Michael, he would tease me a lot.
Yeah,
a lot. Even though Kevin was there, you know, he had his one friend or whatever. Not just <kidding. laughs> No. he had like
his, okay, so Kevin is my brother. Yeah. And Kevin, PJ, and I grew up very, very close.
Super close.
And so PJ is giving Kevin a hard time because Kevin wasn't a very popular kid at that age.
Yeah.
And so when PJ came into the scene, he's like, oh, okay, yeah, his one friend.
So we'd hang out, you know, do basketball, whatever, at the courts. And this kid would always make fun of me. You know, like, oh, what's up, fat ass? Hey, fat. Hey, this. Just all this stuff.
Yeah. Dude.
Oh, here he comes walking down the hall. There's no room for anybody else. Whatever, you know. And one day we were in line, and he just kept saying shit. And we ended up fighting.
Really?
Straight fist blowing fight. Wow. Cracking across the face. I've never been in a fight before that.
Yeah.
And straight.
You were
just
done.
Yeah, you know, I think being big your whole life, you build, you hold a lot.
Yeah.
In. And it's like the straw that broke the camel's back. And I mean, I'm not someone to brag or whatever, but that one I won, thank God. And we both went to the principal. We both got suspended.
Yeah.
And then I think my parents or his parents or something, we had to call each other and say sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, or we're both in the office and we're both apologizing to each other there. But then when we got back to school, he came up, apologized, I apologized. And then we ended up finding out he lived in the, remember the apartments where we grew up on Osonoma?
Mm-hmm.
If you turn the corner, Uncle Randy lived in those ones.
Mm-hmm.
He actually lived in those apartments.
Oh, shh.
Yeah, wow. Like, what were the odds of him living right behind me?
Oh, my gosh. Knowing?
And we ended up becoming really great friends.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's weird to see how it started.
Yeah.
But became good friends all the way through high school and everything. It's pretty neat. But,
So, like, let's talk about the word fat, because you you want to like pick a bone with me about this word.
I do.
Because like, it's obviously a trigger for you. I mean, it triggered your very first fight. You've heard it all through your life as a negative way.
100%.
And so, I think, but you what have, are your feelings on it right now? What's your feelings around the word fat?
So, I guess as I was younger, being called fat, it hurt. You know what I mean? So, like, it's like my handyman service, big man's maintenance. Mm-hmm. I would never call it fat man's maintenance because even though, like, some people take it like you do, like empowering yourself. Mm-hmm. It's still a very hurtful word to people. I feel a lot of people. Look at kids today who may hear that. Parents tell them, don't call that kid fat. And here you are having your show called The Fat. Was it Yoga or Yogi?
Fat Yogi.
So they call it The Fat Yogi. It's like, what if a little kid heard that? And they're like, oh God, we're not supposed to say that.
But like,
yet they're hearing that. But they don't understand that. As a child, they don't understand
that. But here's the thing. They understand it a certain way because you have made it so. So if you have made the word fat an empowering word, like the word victory, right? You're victorious. You're the winner. You're the strongest. If you turn
wrong
a word into something that's empowering and you teach your kids that, then if they heard it, it wouldn't matter.
No. So look at it at this point. I get what you're saying. And I do. Yeah. I really do. Like, be proud of yourself. I mean, look at me. I'm super proud of myself, you know? I mean, like I said, I see myself as that guy on GQ magazine, you know? And I'm proud of being big, you know?
Yeah.
You know, are you proud of being fat? And you know, hearing that word fat, it's like, to me, it's like this. This is my honest to God thought on the word fat.
Okay, tell me.
Growing up, people calling you fat, it hurt. It made me cry. It made me go home. It made me second guess myself. I compare using the word fat the same way as if you were to call a black person the N-word.
Right.
Okay. As if you were to call a little person, you know, the midget or what, you're not allowed to, you know, you can't say.
The M-word.
Yeah, you know, exactly. It's like you don't think they grew up being called these things and it hurt them? And they took it away. But yet, it's almost like, my family being Mexican, and my mom told me stories of her growing up and being here, walking down and people teasing them and saying like, oh, wetbacks or whatever to them. My mom was called like stuff, or my tias and my family or whoever used to hear stuff like that, you know, in Napa. And, you know, it's things that, words that you grow up hearing that hurt. And I don't think it's fair for like someone saying, well, it's okay if me and Tiffany, you know, call each other fat, or if another person calls someone fat, you know, or just the way they use it. Well, we're using it this way. It's okay. It's like, you know, someone of a different race saying, well, I can call him that because we're the same race. But you better not use that against me.
Right.
I feel it's the same word with fat. If you don't want no one to use that word, don't empower that word to make it something that it's okay to use, you know?
So here's the difference between like those stereotypes and the word fat, because you can still use the word fat in the language as a descriptor. So some like describing somebody as having fat. So do you think there's a difference when people say that person has more fat than the other person? Do you think that's a bad thing to say?
Like to them themselves, like, oh, you have a lot more fat than that person. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, you know that's true, Tiff.
Okay.
Don't even front. I know this is your show. Let's put you on the spot. If someone went up like, yo, you have a lot more fat than that person.
But, like, it's obvious. I feel like, okay.
It's going to hurt.
But
that's
here's the thing.
Hurt.
Here's the real talk.
It's going to hurt.
It is what it is. If you have more fat than another person, it doesn't matter if it's being said. Like, we should be empowered to say, like, yeah, I do have more fat than that person. And you know what? I look good having more fat than
that
person.
I get but it's still a hurtful word. I'm talking about the word itself is very hurtful, you know?
When somebody uses it in a derogatory way, like, oh, my God, you are so fat. That's disgusting. People equate fat to being ugly, to being disgusting.
Why keep it and why keep it? So let's empower this word. Why do that?
I love that you have this opinion because I know so many people have the same opinion. People even commented on my posts when I first started the show and said, use a different word than fat. And I felt I have to use the word fat. I have to. And just hear me out in saying like...
Because you're fat.
I'm fat.
Yeah.
Being who I am today, it revolves around being fat. There's so many times where when I felt fat, too fat in this world, that I was too afraid to say it. And let me tell you something. I was thinking about it last night, thinking when I was 12 years old, standing on grandma's scale in that downstairs apartment, weighing myself and looking at the scale and thinking, oh my God, if I get to 200, I'm going to be in trouble. And then punching myself in the gut because I was weighing too much and like having this like fat phobia of like being afraid to be too fat.
Yeah.
At that age, at that young of an age where it's like I was afraid and like being afraid of like being fat or having fat is like, to me, I just feel like if you want to come from a place of body positivity, if you want to come from a place of feeling like you know how your body feels, then you have to accept the word fat, because if you don't accept the word fat, then you don't know how your body feels. You are completely like blind to it because you haven't accepted it. And
I think you can accept being big. You can.
Well, and but even right now, you're like sidestepping tiptoeing over the word. No. Like you're saying big versus fat.
Well, that's because, you know, I feel like it is a negative word. You don't hear me in here dropping the N word.
Well,
dropping
and
other words
because
it's a very disrespectful word to use. Like,
well, for some
and
people.
And I just feel like if you just dropping it, you know, it's messed up, you know. It's not something where, like, I want someone who's listening to this to know, like, dude, PJ struggled, but look at him. He's out there doing everything, you know? And I don't want to put an example out there or my kids to hear the example thinking, my opinion is to be able to say, oh, look, that person's fat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but I mean in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Does that person know you're saying that in a good way? All they might hear you say is the word fat, and now it's going, oh, man, dude, you're fat. Good job. And that just embarrassed someone. Oh, no, I don't mean it that way. I mean, you're fat. You're good. That's good. I mean it in a good way. I mean it, yeah, you be strong about yourself. And they're probably like, there's not enough people who think like you.
And that's what I was going to say is you, like that
I
thinking.
I hate to say that you're not going to change the world by today, but it's let's be real. I'm just being real. And it's too many people. If I was to walk down the street right now and go, man, you're fat. But I mean in a good way. I mean, I'm proud. I'm proud that you're wearing those clothes and you're mm-hmm. so big and you're confident like that. Saying that word fat is going to hurt that. I guarantee you, I put money on it, that person's going to be like, that was a Sour Patch move. And that's what I love calling it, a Sour Patch. I love using that word a lot, a Sour Patch kid. Because it's like, you know, you're sweet and then you're sour. Or you're sour and then you're sweet. Like, man, you look fat today.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean it in a good way. I mean, you look great. You know, people who follow you, you know, probably are like, okay, that's cool. You know, I want that too. But there's too many people out here. And then how do you say that some people, I remember talking to you the other day and you go like, oh, well, wouldn't it be cool if someone like small said it, skinny said it? And it's like, that ain't right then. It ain't okay for some people to be able to use that word and other people not to be able to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Just take out the word. Just get rid of that word. You know, I don't feel like you should be just using it as whatever, you know. It's your thing. People can do what they want, you know. I'm proud of you. Dude, I mean, for you to be a big person and do yoga, that alone has stepped on so many barriers, dude. As a guy, And then as being a big guy, I look at yoga as one of the, like, those gyms you have to be in fit to go to. You know, we all know those gyms. Come on, all those people out there know those gyms. Like, man, I can't go to that gym unless I'm in shape. You know what I mean already? You know, and I know gyms try to change that perspective. Yeah. They don't want people to feel that way. But growing up big, you naturally think this way. You know what I mean? So, like, it's just in human nature. I mean, even though we want to change these things, it's just in human nature.
Well, and I, here's the thing. This is why the term the Fat Yogi Show is a challenge to kind of the notion of you can be fat, you can have fat and be a yogi. Your version of fat could be I weigh 100 pounds and I have 1 ounce of fat on me. You are then a fat yogi. In my mind, you could say that that person is a fat yogi, somebody who practices yoga and has fat on their body. It doesn't mean that you have a lot of fat. It doesn't mean you have a little bit of fat. It just means you have fat.
That kind of makes sense, though, because everybody has fat. Even the most fit person in the world has, like, what? It's my body with the pinching machine is one ounce of fat on it. So everybody has fat on them, you know what I mean?
But you're just making my point.
But that I know, though.
I'm just saying.
But that's going back to a different thought of the, like you're saying, the fat. Like, when you're using this word fat, it's like drawn to someone who really is fat. Really big. Really is overweight. Right. You know what I mean? That's what I mean by that word fat. I'm not talking about that guy who... who's in shape and has 1% fat on his body. I'm talking about the person who's overweight, big, struggles with it every day, worries about when you walk into a restaurant and you think about you have to scope the restaurant first before you even go in there because you have to make sure they don't put you in a booth because you're not going to fit. Or when you grow up like me, loving going to baseball games and they have those damn clickers you have to go through and you're worried about, are you going to fit through it? I remember one time going to one and I jumped it because I couldn't fit through it. I was like, I know I'm not going to fit through that. I know I'm not going to fit through that. So I jumped it. And the guy is like, sir, you have to go through the clicker. I'm like, I did. I clicked the thing over. I just went over it. And he's like, no, sir, everybody needs to go through it. I'm like, dude, I ain't going to fit through it. I'm going to get stuck in your machine. Or going on a roller coaster and getting told in front of everybody, sir, can you please get off? The thing won't click or lock. All these little things growing up, being big, and then getting off that ride and hearing, oh, that guy, he's too fat to ride this ride.
Yeah.
Do they ever use that word? Oh, he's too big? No, they use the negative words of, oh, he's too fat. Oh, that dude's too fat. Oh, he won't fit in that chair. He's too fat. You know, or chairs that have sides on them. You know, your hips aren't going to fit. Little things that people who aren't so big don't think about.
Totally.
Those are the people and everybody who I'm thinking about when you say the fat. You know, that's what I meant. Like, once when I heard that name, I was just like, damn, you know, I get what you mean by it. Because one thing the people who are probably listening don't realize, we're the most open family ever. Like, when you hear our voices change, that's our big voice.
That's our fat voices. Yes.
Someone say steak? Oh no, mistake. Oh, you got me going. You know, like, that's, we are so open. But we're trying to really have this conversation because Tiffany definitely has a different point of view on the word fat than I have. And I don't know, maybe she's just more comfortable with it. I'm very comfortable. So there's two type of comfortables, I feel like, here. You're very comfortable with it, and you're a very comfortable person with the way you are. I'm very comfortable with the way I am, too, being big. But not comfortable with the word fat. So,
and here, let me just, like, put this to rest, too. Like, it's okay if you think like PJ.
100%.
If you have an opinion to where you feel like, I can't describe myself as fat. I would never call somebody else fat. Fat is a bad word in my mind. Fat is the same word as a derogatory word.
That's the word I've been trying to think of forever. Yes, that word.
That derogatory, word to where it is like you are describing somebody like you got slime on the bottom of your shoe. Like, that is the word fat. That's what you feel, because even though you're so much bigger than everybody else too, you almost want to be invisible.
And I gotta cut in and say, same thing with Tiffany. Like, if you feel that you're proud to say, hey, I'm fat, I'm proud, you know, and this is who I am, this is what I am, mm-hmm. and I'm comfortable in it, and I'm proud, and I'm yeah. gonna own it, you know, do that. It's just like, yeah. shame on anybody out there to tell someone else that they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And like I tell Tiff, it's not that she's wrong. It's just something I don't like, you know?
Sure.
Just like when it comes to religions and cultures and different things, just different people don't believe in different things.
Totally.
But how dare you tell them that you're wrong? Because you, totally. You didn't grow up that way. Mm-hmm. You can't say your opinion's right and theirs is wrong. You
totally.
Know? I mean, I'm a hunter. I'm a fisherman. I'm everything, you know? I'm not a vegetarian. I'm not a vegan. Mm-hmm. I'm not a yoga person, you know?
But we're going to get into that yoga discussion in just a second.
We are. And I'm not. But I respect all that. And I love trying these things. Like, here I am, did the yoga thing this morning. And if you watch her her channel for it, you're going to see me laughing. It ain't me being disrespectful. It's me and Tiffany cannot be in the same room without laughing for some reason. Like, it's hard. Look at your cousin, her telling you, go,
I forced him to do an ohm with me.
This would have been something I would have made fun of. Like, yeah. Not made fun of, but totally. Like, just like her and me. And going back to the gym thing. In your head, mm-hmm. I thought, like, yoga is for, like, women. They go out, do yoga. Or yoga in your head, like most people do. And yeah. this is what's cool about you doing this, because you are breaking down that barrier that I would say, if you took two pictures of someone who's really in shape mm-hmm. and someone who is big, you took it and walked around and did one of those studies and asked people, who do you think is a yoga teacher? Most people are going to point to the other one.
Yeah.
1,000%.
I'm going to do that.
So that is super
when
cool.
We can actually go out of our homes yeah. and ask people questions, or maybe I'll do it online or something.
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
That's super
like,
cool.
Who's
and don't
the yoga
have them
teacher?
In the yoga. Don't have them in yoga clothes, because, you know, just in normal clothes, two people, just yeah. say, who do you think is the yoga teacher?
Which one is the yeah. yoga teacher?
Even do like three pictures. Let them guess, mm-hmm. you know? And I promise you, more people are going to pick the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like my thought of it for yoga. And I'm thinking, dude, this is like, when she told me she's going to do it, it's like, that's awesome. But there's going to be a lot of people out there who think like, dude, she is way too big to be a yoga teacher.
When I was taking my yoga teacher training.
Do I want to go? And I think some people think of yoga as like exercise, you know?
Mm.
And the more I've talked to you, it ain't just about that, dude.
Right.
It really ain't. But in my head, before I knew about this,
yeah.
I totally thought, dude, yoga is an exercise for like skinny people and this and this. So
that poster child in your mind was a thin, probably white.
Yeah, and it was
probably female.
100% hippie. Hippiest chick. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Like yoga, kind of like a hippiest
chick.
So
she's what? Got like one dreadlock? she's wearing all her crystals.
She has her grass juice on the
her
side.
Her grass juice is on the side.
And that's what I grew up thinking. And, you know, I was almost afraid for you to do it. Because, you know, you're my sister. It's like if Sarah, my sister, did anything. Or, you know, I'd be afraid almost because, like, I've been judged so much. I know there's going to be people out there being like, it'd be like someone going to the gym and me showing up being like, hi, I'm a personal trainer for today. And again, I did the deep voice. And they'd be like, bro, you're like triple the size of me.
Yeah.
And you're trying to teach me how to get healthy. Work on yourself first. I feel like that's how people would take, you know, almost you being a yoga teacher. Like,
it's true.
Oh, I bet. And then here you are, like, hands flat on the ground, and we're like, dang! Like, but that's what it's about. Like, there was, a couple months ago, I was over here working, and tying my shoe, I threw out my back.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't even get off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It took Jason and Justin to get me off the ground.
Yeah.
And, like, you're like, hey, P, you know, that's when I really started thinking, Dude, maybe I should do some yoga to really get my body stretched, get used mm-hmm. to it, bending, you know, and that's why, you know, I really thought, well, it might be something cool to try, you know?
Right.
But, yeah.
So, we did, so, we'll just put a pin in that fat conversation because I feel like we both, both have polar opposite views on how the word should be used. And I think that's amazing because I know that there's people who are listening to this podcast who think exactly like how PJ thinks. And there are people who are listening to this podcast who think exactly how I'm thinking. And I think it's important to like address it because it's like the elephant in the room. Like, yeah, duh. Like, of course the word fat could be derogatory. We all grew up thinking that way, right? We all grew up thinking like, when somebody called you fat, they were saying it in a bad way because, and I won't go into it, but.
Thought we put a pin in there.
I know.
I know,
but okay.
She's trying to get the last word in.
So that's, okay, so that's.
Don't use the word fat. That's it. Let's put a pin in it.
I love you so much, Jay. Okay. All right. So,
next question. No.
So let's go into this. What is your...
just joking.
Let's just talk about your yoga. So PJ hasn't really done much yoga, but I wanted him to do a little bit before he did the show because I felt like the show is called Fat Yogi, the Fat Yogi. He had so much value to add to the show on the opinion of being fat and how to use the word, and I just thought it was such an interesting topic. And so I wanted him to also just experience yoga just a little bit so that he could talk on it a little bit. So this morning I took him through like maybe 4 or 5 half sun salutes and we did like some toes. Okay, so like I was saying, PJ and I did some yoga exercises, but before we just jump into that, I was thinking about it. Like you had told me a story too about you being in the Philippines and like forgetting a belt or something. Like tell me about that.
Oh yeah. So, this is probably my third time there, and when I used to go to the Philippines, I'd wear my nicest clothes, right? Of course, you know, going to different countries, just like I went to Mexico, you wear your nice clothes when you're going out. And I used to wear this big chain, had a big Aztec calendar on it.
Oh, my God.
Well, then I finally learned, like, you're on the plane for 16 hours.
Dude.
Don't matter what you're going to wear, when you get there, you ain't going to be fresh,
real
you know?
Talk.
So, like, and then after you do your 16 hours, you get on another plane and fly for another hour. Then you get to the town where they're from over in Ilocos. And shout out to all the Filipinos and Mexicans out there. then you get on a jeepney or a car if they were picking you up in one. And then you go another 45 minutes, an hour to the house. So, you know, between layover times and everything, you're mm-hmm. 24 hours in the same clothes.
Yeah.
So, what I finally learned is wear, like, basketball shorts, something sweat, something comfortable on the airplane. And then when I'd get to Manila, I'd go in the bathrooms and do, like, you know, bring baby wipes in, mm-hmm. hit the hot spots.
Yeah.
You know, wipe yourself down, put on fresh clothes, mm-hmm. cologne, you know, some gel in your hair, look fresh. And, then you get where you're going. Now you're fresh.
Yeah.
So I did that. So I wore comfortable clothes on the mm-hmm. airplane. Got all ready. Get to Manila. Get my backpack. Get out my cologne. My deodorant. Baby wipes. Let's get put on my new clothes. My clothes, I should say. And damn. I looking through everything. Couldn't find my belt.
Oh.
Oh, like what the hell? So people who know me... I have normal belts, but my favorite belts I use are barrel straps. So they're actually straps that you would use to strap down barrels, two barrels. And when we worked at the winery, they had them, and they're pretty cool because you just slip them through, and then they lock. And you can tighten it however you want. It's pretty neat, actually. And I seen one time the guy at the work forgot his belt, so they cut it and made himself a belt. I was like, oh, snap. PJ, you get a couple belts. My belts are twice as expensive. These are free $99. So I got myself like 4 of them or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had me a couple belts. And I forgot it, dude. It sucked so bad. And anybody who knows me, my pants already kind of hang down. I'm not... So like... I look at other big people dress being big, you know, and there's a couple of looks I just don't care for being big. I wear, there's two type of big people. There's people who wear their pants above their belly. In my opinion, then you look like a bowling ball. Your whole body says whoop one.
Okay.
That's how I feel. I could be wrong. I wear my shorts, pants under my belly. I feel like it gives you two parts to your body now.
Okay.
So, you know, but by doing that, they're
you
really
need a belt.
Well, but if you look at it, that's really not your waist then.
Right.
It's a little bit below your waist.
It's like your
so,
hips.
So, yeah. So, you know, I have to keep my belt on or my butt's going to be showing. You know, so it's a big problem. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have. And I don't buy shorts to fit my waist. I buy shorts to fit under my belly. I don't buy them to fit above my belly because that would be another 3 more inches on your pants probably to fit way up there. So when I got to the Philippines, I had nothing, dude. It sucked. And I was there for a month.
Oh my God.
And I get there and I'm telling Burnett, I'm like, was it our wedding?
Oh my God, it's your wedding and you don't even have a belt.
I don't know if it was our wedding time or our after our wedding. I really don't remember.
Well, just go buy one.
So, well, that was the issue. The issue was I can't walk into any Filipino store in the whole Philippines and buy a belt.
Oh, my God.
We went and looked. And
there's
one lady
no
was
big
like,
and tall stores in the Philippines.
One lady was like, put two together. Oh! I saw you two. I was like,
bitch,
this is not going to fit. Okay, I'm not walking around with two belts. So my mother-in-law, God bless her heart, Nana, that means my mom in Philippines. I love her. I mean, she's a hardworking woman. I love her.
She's amazing.
My father-in-law, same thing. Hardworking gentleman.
Dude, yes.
Just great people. But they, Nana's like, oh, Anako, which means my child. She's like, Anako, you know what? Here you go. I got rope.
Okay.
I was like, oh, God. Like, a rope? She was like, yeah, yeah. And so we send these boxes to the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And they wrap. When I flew in, I brought boxes with me. Mm-hmm. Well, to hold the boxes, we wrap rope around them. Now we have handles.
Yeah.
So now I was like, oh, look. I saved the rope from the box.
Oh, my God.
You can use it for your pants.
Yeah.
So I end up walking around the Philippines for 3 weeks.
Oh, my God.
With everything I wore had to be tied with this rope. Now here I am wearing probably a $300 silver chain. And back then, that was quite a bit for this.
Yeah.
It was huge. You remember that chain? It was fat.
Dude.
Huge.
I don't even know why you were wearing that shit.
I was legit. Okay? That's why.
Gangsta.
I was a Backstreet Boy, okay?
Oh, my God.
Shit. You know? That's how I was. No.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yeah. I had that. Nice clothes.
Yeah.
Fresh shoes, you know?
Yeah.
I think I even bought shoes and I didn't even wear them until I got there.
Yeah.
And then as I bend over, you see a rope.
Like, a
rope. So, yeah, that's just one of the many things. I mean, airplanes.
Yeah.
I had to. So, I used to have to ask for an extension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I probably have to ask for one now.
Oh, seatbelt extension.
Yeah. Seatbelt extension. Well, I was traveling a lot, dude. I was going to Mexico quite a bit. I was going to the Philippines.
Yeah.
I love traveling. You know, I was going to, I went to Hawaii with Bruce and Bill. Just started doing different things. And
before the children.
Yeah. And I got tired of asking for a damn extension.
Seatbelt. Yeah.
So one of my uncles, well, he's like an uncle to us. My Uncle Mike and my Aunt Becky, they told me he stole one off the plane. Like, when he didn't steal it, but you know, well, he did. But when they gave it to you to
he
use,
just
he just didn't give it back.
Yeah.
So I say, you know what?
Which is stealing.
It's borrowing.
You're like, I'll leave it on the last plane ride
because one time I asked, one time when I first needed it, ever flew, I didn't know I was going to need one. So I asked for one.
Uh-huh.
And I told the lady, I'm like, excuse me, they told me there's something called an extension.
Yeah.
And if anybody's been on an airplane and they demonstrate, put your buckles into here. What they're demonstrating with is an extension.
Oh, uh-huh.
That's the actual extension piece. And the lady, we're like taking off.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I don't have my seatbelt on yet. They're like, oh yeah, sir, let me go get that for you. Well, this happened a couple times like that. And I started getting to the point as soon as you walk on the plane, the people greet you.
Yeah.
I would sit there right there. Excuse me, I sit here. I need an extension brought to me. Instead of everybody sitting down and then me embarrassing, like, excuse me, I need an extension. Like, in front of everybody, I would sit smooth right there. Mm-hmm. Maybe the person in front of me heard me,
hella
the person
slick.
Back. But that's it. Well, then I just
got
tired of
tip.
It. Yeah, it is. Then I got tired of it, so I just took it with me. And they're universal. They fit every airplane.
Uh-huh.
So it was cool. I just put it in my pocket, walked off, got my...
Was it cool?
Oh, it was. There was no more asking for extensions, baby. It was like...
You're like, no, I do not need an extension.
I even had one lady ask me, sir, do you need an extension? I'm like, no. She's like, look at me. You're a liar. I'm like, I don't. And then she looks over. She's like, sir, can we see the seatbelt? I lift my belt right there. It's connected. But, yeah, so that's pretty much
the lift the belly move on the airplane to make sure you're wearing a seatbelt. Yes. That's classic.
So are you wearing a seatbelt? Are you wearing a normal seatbelt in the car? Yep, under there.
Yep, it's under there. I ain't moving anywhere.
Yeah, I can't move.
So, okay, let's get into the yoga. So we just performed, like, it was very quick. It was a 10-minute little yoga spiel where I just kind of went through maybe 5 sun salutations, some toe scrunches, some like reflexing, and then some breathing techniques. So what was your thoughts going through it, PJ? How do you feel about yoga? What do you think about it?
I really think it'd be a great, great thing for like my back or stretching. Mm. I've been over a lot to pick up my hose, and my hose is probably the size of my thumb, you know, all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
It's small. So you've been over all the way
for pest control.
Yeah, you've been all the way over to the ground pretty much. So I feel like if I started doing yoga, it would be a great way for my back.
Yeah.
And then bending over without one day bending over and can't come back up.
Like it's already happened
like,
to him.
Yeah, a couple times. And I really think of it as a cool way, you know. I think if I did it more, you know, maybe in a class, not with Tiff. Nothing against the way she does it.
Right.
It's just, it'd be like my sister trying to.
Too much history.
It's too funny.
Literally,
you know?
Like, my brother was born 2 weeks before, or 4 weeks before PJ.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and my brother was like 1 year and 9 months younger than me. So, I mean, PJ and I are less than 2 years apart as far as age goes. We all grew up in the same apartment complex. For years we were living in that same apartment complex. Probably 10 years.
Yeah.
And so we
tried
very
to live together
close.
For one time.
Oh, my God. Like that
as full families. But that's a different story.
Okay,
but,
that was
but
how,
no, that's
how
just,
your cheapest.
That's how you see how we get along. But that just shows you how close we are, dude. Like,
real
super
talk,
close.
For
so,
real.
For me, I definitely recommend people doing yoga because I love the gym. I mean, you're going to look at me and be like, don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything. Getting you there is a pain in the ass. But once you're there, you're like, I'm here. I love it, you know?
Yeah.
When I did lose all my weight, the almost 200 pounds,
yeah,
I was going to the gym a lot. And I wasn't like hardcore at it. I would just do the elliptical, some weights, and be done. Like, but
mobility
you feel
is
good.
So important.
It really is. And by doing the yoga, even if you didn't go to the gym, say you did a home yoga, like, dude, you guys don't even know how many things we've done together. Like, I mean, what's his name? Rocking to the Oldies.
Richard Simmons.
Rocking to the Oldies.
So, yeah, PJ and I definitely hit that sweat to the Oldies. We've probably done every single one. And I always remembered at the very end, they had that line of all the people. And those were people that were, like, genuinely, like, did the workouts and, like, lost weight. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And always, like, there was the fattest person at the end who, like, lost the most amount of weight. But, like, they still fat, but they still moving it. Like,
or, like, even, like,
I
I've done
it.
Tai Bo. I mean, I've done all those things. I like them, too. I like them. It's just getting to keep doing them. So, my wife, Burnett, was like, I told her I want to go join a gym. And there's so many here in Fresno. And she was like, all right, go ahead. And no joke, the week I was going to go to the gym is the week this, you know, coronavirus broke out and we can't leave. And I'm like, I guess I'll start next time.
Oh, darn.
That's so funny. It's true. No.
It's but, true.
For real. Like,
it's not
I really,
you can't work out at home, fool.
I know, but it's hard to get motivated. But so my opinion on yoga, as a guy, I thought, you know, it's a woman's thing. You know, it's a hippie thing. It's something that, it's a skinny person thing, you know. I just never thought of it as something I would do. And it's, I definitely recommend people out there to try. I feel like it's just going to be, I don't know so much about the whole, you know, for your spirit wise for it, but I definitely feel for your body, you know, for your mobility, moving. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that. I think it's awesome.
Cool. So, okay, so let's dive into some questions that I normally ask my guests, because we haven't really touched any of the questions because we've just been gabbing about all those old stories. But what's your relationship with your body at, like, right now?
I would say at this point, I noticed how big I am now. When you are 500 pounds, it'd be like this. Here's my example on it. You've heard where you drop a frog in the hot water, he jumps right out. You put him in it, and then you start cooking him, he stays in there. I feel like that was me when I was got up to 500. I never noticed I was 500 because I was slowly cooking. You know what I mean? You didn't notice it. But when you're 500 and you lose 200 and then you gain 50, 60 pounds back, you feel that 50, 60 big time.
Yeah.
So I can feel I've gained the weight back. Yeah. I can feel it. I probably never been as self-conscious about my weight as I have now.
Okay.
You know, because I feel like because I did lose so much weight, it's almost embarrassing to go see people and then they'd be like, oh, he put back on his weight. Oh, see, that's why I don't want to do that surgery because it come back, you know? So that's how I am right now in my body. I did that 3-day cleanse. You know, I tried to do a whole cleansey thing, try to start fresh.
And how did that work?
I didn't, you know, a couple of days my stomach was kind of blah, blah, blah. But
It didn't feel much of a difference.
Yeah, the one I bought, I don't know if it was the best.
It made me itchy. So, like, I did the cleanse with him, and it made me super itchy. So, after the second day, I stopped taking the pills.
Yeah, I don't know if the one I got just wasn't right, you know, or what. I didn't know. But, yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable with my body. I'm very, you know, my daughter, she's follows her daddy more than her mom's genes. So it's something I think about a lot for her. I don't want her to go through the struggles that I went through or you went through or whatever. Yeah. Especially as a girl, I would imagine there's more on them than guys. I don't know that, but I would just imagine there is.
The
you know?
Pressure.
I would imagine there is.
So do you think that there was pressure on you growing up to lose weight?
Yeah, you know.
Or was there like, PJ's just big. It's cool. Like, it's okay that he's big.
No, I would say there was pressure for sure, you know, just because, you know, no one wants to see their kid big, you know, or overweight. But do I feel like women probably have more? I would say so.
Okay.
You know, I would definitely say so.
Yeah.
I've even heard of, sorry, I even heard of women. One of my good friends was telling me she was a bigger woman. And she told me, I'm not going to say her name or anything, but she told me that she was thinking about going to Europe. And finding a man over there. Because I guess in Europe, maybe it's Europe, men find bigger women attractive more.
There you go.
So she was thinking about even going over there, you know?
Yeah.
Just like how you see a lot of Americans go to like Japan or wherever, or where it may be, you know? You think of that thought like, okay,
American men go to Japan for or a thin Japanese woman.
Yeah, or like Philippines or whatever.
And then
not
the
to
opposite's
that.
True for Europe, going to the U.S. for a larger bodied.
Yeah, it's
more
pretty,
voluptuous,
exactly
curvy I, woman.
I think, you know, there's always that, you, like you said, pressure of losing weight for sure, 100%.
What is the advice for others you might struggle that you would give who struggle with being fat?
Definitely don't let it stop you.
I like that. Yeah.
Don't. And what I mean by that too is like, if you want to do something, go do it, dude. Yeah. Like, an example, when I was snowboarding, I got down the hill.
Yeah.
And this guy comes up to me, slides up, stops next to me, goes, "Bro, I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but I gotta ask you, man, how do you do it? You flew past me.
Yeah.
Like, dude, how are you out here snowboarding, bro? I fall down all the time." And of course, me being me, I made a joke. I'm like, "Bro, because if I fall down, I can get back up, dude. I gotta go. You know, I ain't gonna fall, but I get back down. I can't get back up." But little things like that, just don't let them stop you, man. Like, you know, if there's a girl you want to ask out, ask her.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I know that's so easy to say that I'm older.
Right.
But we all hear, if I knew now, you know, or whatever it is. There's so much different things. Don't let nothing stop you, man. If you want to be a yoga instructor, be a yoga instructor.
Totally.
If you want to be a personal trainer, be a personal trainer. If you want to be a professional snowboarder, if you want to be a baseball player, football player, ballerina, if you're a girl and you want to be a monster truck driver, do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, look at all these women breaking boundaries. Look at guys who are doing the same thing. So no matter if you're big, small, gay, straight, black, white, it doesn't matter. Don't let those things hold you back.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about a positive experience about being fat.
Oh, man. playing chicken in the pool when people are on your shoulders. And you're always the bottom. You're the base and we win. No, man, just there's so many, you know. Hearing like that guy come up to me and tell me, you know, "Bro, how do you do it?"
Somebody being impressed with the fact that you're doing something that a fat person or a bigger bodied person
would never normally do. Playing softball.
Surprising, you know, people.
I'm out there with all these guys playing softball and they're most of them are all in shape, or they're dads who have the dad bods, but they're not 500-pound guys, you know?
Right.
They're that dad with that beer gut or, you know, whatever.
Totally.
But they're not 500 pounds, and I'm out there playing softball with them, and they're just like, they all know who I was again.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that guy. There's that.
Yeah.
You know, me being a pitcher, I'm talking mad shit when I'm pitching to them, you know, so they all get to know who I am. And then playing baseball, you know, being a third baseman, you know, you gotta be quick, dude. And people were always shocked that I'd play baseball, you know? And that's why I grew up Bay Area, I love the Giants. And when we have Pablo Sandoval, you know, the panda.
Hell yeah.
He's a big guy. He plays third base, but he's quick.
The panda there no more. You know,
but he's quick. So I love it. I love that stuff. So like, he's almost like showing people, no, you can be big and still do it, you know?
Dude, so, real talk.
Yeah. I mean, definitely hearing stuff from people pumps me up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then...
Yeah, so if you see a larger bodied person doing something and you yourself as a larger bodied person, then tell them, like, "I think you're amazing because you're out here doing this."
Yeah, it makes you feel good.
Or, it does.
You know? Yeah, it's awesome.
So... here's a question I cringe on, but I think it's an important question to ask. What do you hate about your body?
The hair on my chest.
Okay.
No.
Really?
I honestly, about my body, part I hate, maybe, shit. I don't know, dude. I guess
he thinks he's the sexiest man alive, obviously.
I wore a hat today on her thing because I shaved my head. So I am very self. I have a lot of clothes. I'm not conceited, but I like dressing up.
He's very stylish. He dresses his wife.
But I'm a confident person. But, you know, what's funny is I'm a confident person, but I'm not like someone who had girlfriends a lot or nothing like that in any means. I'm never like been like, if I tell someone I like them, I truly feel that. I'm not someone to tell someone just to be like,
Yeah.
You know, oh, I'm trying to get with you or whatever.
Right. So when you were much younger, yeah, before you got married.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure. You know, I was never that way.
Yeah.
So growing up big, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know, dude. I would say I'm a very hairy person. So
that's fair.
I always buzz the top of my back of my back. So the hair don't stick out. I have a buddy. He's a half
Mr.
wolf.
Bruce.
He's half caveman.
Dude, real so talk.
The hair. And then, you know, I would probably say, you know, my stomach. How now, I don't know, because I'm getting older. I lost so much weight maybe.
So hangs some down. Loose skin.
When I hang down, so when I lift up my shirt.
Yeah.
I don't want the belly to show.
Yeah.
Like, you see some guys who are bigger, and they walk around with just showing half of their belly out, and they're proud. I'm like,
I don't know if they're proud or just unaware that it's happening.
I don't know. Probably unaware, because that's one thing I don't like. And I am self-conscious about that kind of stuff.
I won't say, like, it's a bad thing for sure. But, yeah, it is something that you notice that happens for men. And if they are aware and they're showing their bellies, like, good for them. Yeah. Like, body positivity. Love yourself however you are. But, yeah, maybe needs to size up on the shirt if they were trying to cover it, because that shirt isn't working for
them.
Most
of my shirts I try to buy, and I won't buy them if they're not longer.
Because
I don't like lifting my arms up and my belly hanging out. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you love about your body? Your favorite thing about your body?
My eyelashes.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I know that sounds crazy, but I've had girls, my wife, growing up, anybody, my mom, people ask me, do I curl my eyelashes? They all ask me, do you curl your eyelashes? Do you curl your eyelashes? And I'm like, no. Why? Yeah, that's what I think about in the morning. Yeah. Let me wake up and curl my eyelashes.
Right.
Yeah, my eyelashes, because they get the most compliments. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are your last words on the topic of being fat?
Last words on the topic of being fat.
Or do you have any? You think you've said it all?
I think I almost said it. I have so many more stories I wanted to get to. So many more things.
We'll have to do it again.
I've actually thought about doing my own podcast. I'm going to plug it real quick.
Yeah, that's the next thing I was going to ask you about. Right. So
well,
maybe
what
by
were
the
you
time.
Ask me? What were you asking?
Well.
Shoot.
So. By the time this comes out, hopefully he has his own podcast, and I will link it down below. So what is the podcast? Let's plug it.
I'm thinking about going with Big Man in a Little World.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big Man in a Little World. So the world isn't big enough for you, and you're amazing.
No, I just think, you know, being big in a little world, it's like... Mm-hmm. It can mean so many things. It can mean little world by, like, the way they design things.
Yeah.
Is made for littler people.
Or just average-sized people.
Yeah. Or the way, you know, I just want to talk about different experiences I've had and different experience on I've noticed things, you know, just about how this world is so big and you run into someone.
Yeah.
You know, things just about like that. Like, because
how
I like to travel, how I've been on, you know, I've been on a cruise ship, and here I meet someone who's down the street from, or in the same town as us.
Yeah.
You know, here we are thousands of miles
away
from home.
Oh, that's true. We
were. Yeah. And you meet someone who's from the same town. You're like,
yeah.
And then you start talking. Oh, I know where that's at. Oh, I do too.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
totally.
You know, just different things. Or I've gone to Mexico and people are like, oh, you live, oh yeah, that's my cousin lives in that town, and now you somehow know them.
Yeah.
Or how my experience, I was going to talk about my experiences on not just here in the States, but, you know, I've traveled, been fortunate enough to travel to a couple different places and give my thoughts on going to places like that.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of foreign countries, they use plastic chairs. And
it is not fun.
No. It is very scary to sit on a plastic chair as a big person. So
yeah,
it's very scary. And that's what I was going to do. And I was just going to talk about maybe everyday experiences, you know, just work things.
Yeah.
City and cars, just restaurants, just whatever. So
yeah, I feel like that would be a really cool podcast. And then to like get guests to come on and talk about it. I'll be on your podcast if you want.
Yeah,
give a female perspective too. And then plug your businesses, because like he said, he also grooms dogs a little bit and then also does some handyman services. And what were the names of those again?
That's Big Man Maintenance and Doghouse Grooming, and then Classic Pest Control.
Yeah, so check those out, because he does it all. He's a jack of all trades, and he's about to start a podcast, so that's amazing. So we've kind of come to the end of the show, and there's 5 questions that I want to ask you. So we'll just do like rapid fire, and then you could just answer however you want. These are super fun questions. So first one is...
Oh, not multiple choice?
Okay, the first one is, what is your favorite meal?
Oh, so I am not picky at all. And there's a lot of people out there who's picky. They're big and picky.
I know. I don't know like, how they make it.
Yeah,
but they just eat lots of the same
and picky.
Thing.
I'm like, quick question. I love chili rellenos. They're, you know.
Okay, so that's your first go-to. Yep. If you were like going to eat something.
Chili stuffed with cheese and fried with batter. If anybody doesn't know what those are.
Oh, hell yes.
But that's what those are.
And a burrito is even better.
Oh, they are good.
Favorite TV show?
Ooh. So, ooh. I don't know, man. I don't know. There's so many, because
I know.
Me and Burnett will sit there and we watch 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, hell yeah.
We can relate to it. I feel like I can relate to that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, marrying someone not from here. We watch The Resident. We watch The Good Doctor.
Okay. So they're all your favorites?
Yeah. It's hard. I don't have a favorite show. I do prefer watching my shows on like on your phone, like on a Netflix or something.
Oh, okay.
Because then there's no commercials. I can just binge watch. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, so I don't like watching it on my phone, because then it's like a teeny tiny screen.
Yeah, it's true. But I do.
Big man in a little screen.
Yeah, it is. It's a little world.
What's your favorite book?
So Tiffy's laughing because anybody who knows me, I do not read because I can't. No. Does Goosebumps count back in the day?
Yes, absolutely. So PJ and my brother both struggled with reading, and they had Hooked on Phonics. That's a throwback. And we've joked about this forever, but yeah, so he's not a big reader, but this is one of the questions, so I just figured I'd throw it out there. You could also like include a magazine. Do you have a favorite magazine that you like reading? You're like, reading?
No. Not really.
You're like, yeah, that's a no.
Yeah, which is surprising about me, you know, like we covered it earlier about the school stuff, but it's even though I did all those things, it's so funny. I even amazed myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like another job I had is I graduated as a CNA.
Oh, you know? Right.
And I passed the whole class, and other people did it, but I'm just...
I'm a very
hands-on person. Like, I get it. And once I see it and I do it, it clicks. I mean, just like, you know, all my hunting classes and my...
Totally.
All that kind of stuff, it's all passed. I mean, even to become a pest control technician, you need to pass a test.
There you go.
That one took me a couple tries, but I passed that. You know what I mean? So... Anything
you're
out there, if you want to do it, go do it. You know,
I love it. Favorite Instagram account?
Oh, you know who I really like there? Huh. I watch him a lot. Is David Dubrique or Breek or whatever his name is. I don't know who he is. I don't have my phone on me, or I'd show you. But there's this guy, David something. My kids were watching him. And
okay.
I got hooked on it. It's kind of like secret, though.
No. Oh, okay. It's a secret? Like... That's the Instagram account?
No, but it's called something. I don't know the name.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm not.
What does the guy do?
Just stupid things with his friends all the time.
Oh, okay. So it's like a funny Instagram.
It's a funny Instagram.
Okay. Well, I'll link it down below. What's your favorite way to spend a day off?
My family, barbecuing.
Oh, okay.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
If it's the right time of year, taking my trailer up with my cousins and my buddies and go up, just camping up in the mountains, go deer hunting, whatever it may be, fishing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, stuff like that.
Last night, Jason and I did a little fire in our backyard, just a little something, just nice. To kind of, you know, drink. We drink tea at the end of the night. I know that's something probably you think it's weird that Jason does. But Jason and I will sit in the couch and drink tea, and we were like, hey, let's do it outside. And as we were sitting super outside, cool. We were thinking, you know what would be awesome is like
a fire pit.
No. Dude, like going to like different campsites and
yeah.
like kind of traveling before this whole coronavirus happened. We were talking about getting a camper and like traveling
it's
around.
It's worth it, dude. It's worth it. And so, one thing people don't know about Fresno is when we're here, the number one place I try to take people is like up the Shaver Lake.
Uh-huh.
I swear you guys, it's anybody who's ever been to Tahoe, it looks just like Tahoe.
Right.
I mean, I think you took your mother and father-in-law yeah. there, and they mm-hmm. were even like...
They were completely shocked. It's absolutely gorgeous. Probably more untouched than Tahoe, even.
Yeah, 100%.
So, and it's gorgeous.
20 degrees cooler in the summertime up there than here.
Compared to here. Yeah. Because yeah, it does get really hot, so that is a thing. Okay, so last thoughts. What are your last thoughts? Anything you want to share?
I thought I was going to come here today and just bullshit and not get too in the deep talking uh-huh. and just be like, oh, we'll be done with this. I got to go run errands uh-huh. and do a bunch. And it was way more fun.
Yeah.
I would definitely do it again. If she would have me back one day, we'll definitely yeah. do it again. But, and maybe even do like a full yoga session with her, like not the same day before it, but maybe like... like a week before, then I could talk to her about how it was.
Think about it too, yeah, you know, and kind of write down your thoughts exactly. or just think about your thoughts because I know you ain't writing shit.
I got a phone where I can talk into nowadays, okay? It's a smartphone.
Oh, but, my God.
No, you know, I think it was a way better experience than I thought doing this. Awesome. It definitely made me think about some things, you know, and
I know it brings up memories. Definitely and brings up memories, feelings.
Thoughts. And, you know, so much more I want to explain and get out there with people. And
yeah.
I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm so excited that PJ took the time to come onto the podcast. Yeah, when he first got here, I was like, okay, you ready? And he's like, okay, let's go. Let's finish it up. And I was like, this is going to be an hour, dude, like minimum. And we're going on an hour and 35 minutes. Yeah. Like, I knew it was going to be longer because we were laughing through so much of this interview. But yeah. I just appreciate him taking the time so much. His stories are so awesome. And I'm sure you guys got so much from this as well. So thank you guys for listening. You guys have been amazing. Thank you, PJ, for taking the time.
No, thank you. Thank you.
And bye.
Bye. Peace.
Thanks again, guys, for listening. You are an amazing fat yogi, and I hope that today's episode inspires you to go out and be that amazing fat yogi that I know you are. And if you have a chance, please go check out our guests today. And don't forget, we have a retreat coming up June 26th through the 28th, so be sure to check that out on namastetogetherfresno.com. Thanks again and have an amazing week.